kind of gave me a freebie to do whatever I'd like to do, which is always dangerous to give a minister a freebie sermon, because what happens is they inevitably talk about their favourite verse, which is why tonight we are going to be looking at John 10:10 to a certain extent, and the idea of life in all its fullness. These guys down here, well, most of you guys, you know, in Pulse Light, we're going to be looking at this in a longer stretch. So God has been talking to me about this. It's not just me picking my favourite verse and going, let's do this. God has been talking to me about doing this and looking at this a longer sort of stretch. So hopefully tonight we'll get a little bit. So yeah, John 10:10. It's in a part of the passage where Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd. And the whole verse actually starts, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But the second half of that verse is, but I have come that they may have life and life in all its fullness. And that, we could spend ages looking at how amazing that picture of God as a good shepherd is. Oh, Jesus is the good shepherd. But actually, I want to focus on life in all its fullness. What does that look like? You know, how can we receive it? You know, Jesus said, I've come that everyone may have life in all its fullness. That is still available to us tonight. Life in all its fullness is able for us to have. So how do we get it? How do we engage with it? Well, before we kind of get into that, I thought there would be a really good illustration I could use. But to do it, I'm going to have to tell you about one of my favorite TV shows. So if you've never seen this TV show, it's basically five comedians who are given tasks by a taskmaster, and then they have to complete it. It sounds very simple, and it sounds quite dull. It is absolutely amazing. These guys kind of got me onto it. It is brilliant. And the new season starts on Wednesday. I'm not getting paid to say that. But yes, Wednesday it starts. So if you fancy watching it, it's on Dave, 9 o'clock. The language is a little bit, but it's really funny. But we thought we'd give you a taste this evening by having a go at doing a taskmaster task. And it hopefully is going to help me with my talk a little bit. So I have two willing volunteers. So Eddie and Toby, if you'd like to come up and join me. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Okay, so yeah, if you guys want to come up and join me on the stage. Let me move this out of the way for the moment. Okay, so what happens on the show is generally the comedians get given a task. It's usually sealed in wax, but I didn't have time. Or wax. So, they read out the task. And then they complete the task in whatever way they see fit, okay? I'll give this to you guys, if you want to come stand here for a moment.
Are we competing against
each other? You're competing against each other. So hold that for a second. And you can open it up and have a little read. Meanwhile, my willing volunteers are going to bring the stuff that we need on. If you would like to read the task out to the lovely people. That's it, bring it on, bring it on. If you'd like to read the task to the lovely people.
Oh.
Hold on, let me get the...
It says, slice the perfect slice of bread. You may only use the items on the table. You have 1 minute. Your time starts when the whistle blows.
What are you going to give us to slice the...
Well, let's have a little look. So, James, you want to get the stuff out for them? No. You're fighting over the loaf. So, James, a bit quicker than that, please. On the table. It's got to be on the table. That's the task. That's it. Come on. A stapler. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you... Oh, Eddie's like deep in thought. Okay, the perfect slice of bread. We got a timer on the screen. Perfect slice of bread. When the whistle blows, you have 1 minute. Together. You're going at the same time.
Thank you.
You've got 27 seconds left. One perfect slice of bread is what we're looking for. No, like heel of the bread. 15 seconds. No heel. Quick! Okay, right, let's have a little look. We got Toby's perfect slice of bread, and we got Eddie's perfect slice of bread. Okay, can I just have a little kind of cheer for Toby's perfect slice of bread? And a cheer for Eddie's perfect slice of bread. So I think by the clapometer, Eddie is our winner. However, could you just do me a favour? Just check in that folder for me and just have a little look inside. The one you went through. Just the first page. What does it say? Repeatedly.
Under the table.
And can we just get the video? It was fine. Okay, give him a round of applause. Thank you, Anthony. There was also no. We had under the table written on a number of places that if you'd have noticed.
So you've got to have your wits about you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. You want to sit? You see, there is a point. There is a point. Apart from just taking the mickey out of Toby and Eddie, unbelievable. I think often what we do, honestly, is approach life a little bit like that. You know, we get given life by God, given maybe even tasks by God to do, and then what we do is we just grab everything around us and try our best to get the thing done, all the time not realizing that God has given us everything we need if we'll just take a time to look, just take the time to think, just take the time to spend with him. You know, I've on the Taskmaster series, that's a combination of a couple of tasks, but the first time I saw them do this, where they had something under the table, and they had written all over the place, under the table, I loved it the first time. It was hilarious. Nobody noticed it. And then when they noticed it, they were gutted. And it was absolutely brilliant. But I found it hard to ever watch that show, that part of the show again, because I was so frustrated. Because I was like, just, I don't know how you felt watching these guys. How many of you saw the knife when we brought the table on? Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how you were feeling, but I was so frustrated. Like, one of you just notice, please. And I wonder if God feels like that when he looks at us sometimes, when we're just cramming our lives full of stuff and trying just running around like headless chickens, trying to pursue life in all its fullness or anything, and not realizing that actually everything we need is right in front of us. If we'll just take the time to stop and look for the things that he's given us, the clues that he's given us, even just look for him and see what where he's guiding us. Life in all its fullness. How do we receive life in all its fullness? I want to suggest, actually, that if we read the passage that we read for James's baptism this morning, I will admit, James, that when God led me to that passage for you this morning, I thought about it more than this morning, but when God led me to that passage, I felt like he wanted us to talk about this evening as well. So it's Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 19. I think in here is the key to how we get life in all its fullness. That's why, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, that's why, when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the Christians, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank, I ask. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. In that passage, I think Paul hits on how we get this life in all its fullness that Jesus talks about. And it starts with this. It's I ask to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. If we want to have life in all its fullness, it begins with knowing God personally. You know, taking the time to develop that relationship with him. You know, when we actually stop and think, and I think this is what Paul gets at when he's like, the immensity of the glorious way. He's saying, just stop for a moment. We are but specks on a tiny blue planet in a tiny solar system in the immensity of the universe. And yet the one who made all of that wants a personal relationship with me and with you. It's absolutely crazy. But that is what Jesus came to give us, a personal relationship with God. And how, and when we desire life in all its fullness, it begins, it has to begin, with pursuing that personal relationship and being intentional about pursuing that relationship. It can't just luck into it. We have to think about how we're going to do it and get on with it. And you guys down here, when we do look up this in Pulse Light in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at all the different ways that God wants to meet with us, all the different ways we can put ourselves in a position that God can meet with us. Tonight, we're not going to do that. Tonight, we're just going to look at that intentionality, because that's what we need to do. We need to be intentional about it. And if you guys are sitting out there going, I want to know all these different ways, then talk to these guys in the next few weeks, and hopefully we will get the answers home. We will see. But have a chat with these guys afterwards, after the next few days. But we need to be intentional at pursuing this personal relationship with God. James, if there's one thing I can say to you on the day of your baptism, it's just run after that personal relationship with God. How does that bring us life in all its fullness, though? I think that's where we start. But I think actually what's amazing is the more we do that, the more we spend time with God, the more we develop that personal relationship with him, what he does is actually reframe our world. He changes us. As we spend time with him, we change. You know what happens when you get into a relationship with somebody, or you've seen it in other people. You change. You become different because of your relationship with that person. And the same is true as we become closer to God, we will change and we will see the world differently. The other day, I asked these guys, what is life in all its fullness? And of course, one of the answers was Ben and Jerry's. Yeah. One was raspberries. But we also had friends, we had family, we had love, we had life without fear. You know, I love how deep these guys are sometimes. What is life in all its fullness? I wonder if we spend more time with God, more time in that, developing that personal relationship, whether we will discover that the world will be reframed and we will see that actually life in all its fullness is right in front of us. Whether we'll realize that as we begin to see the world through God's eyes, we realize, hang on a second, God has given me all this stuff to do. But rather than going, oh, I'm so busy, I look at it and go, oh, my life is so full. You know, I wonder if we begin to develop this life in its fullness, if we begin to go after this personal relationship with God, whether we'll look and instead of seeing social obligations where you go, oh, I have to go to that, you go, oh, wow, I get to go to that. You know, I'll be honest, I'm an introvert and I don't like crowds and I don't really like going to social occasions, because I'd much prefer to just be on my own. Doing something kind of quiet, like reading or playing a game or something. So I will be honest, and sometimes, please don't stop inviting us to stuff, but when we get invited to stuff, I'm sometimes like, oh, do we have to go? I wonder if I spent more time in my personal relationship with God, whether I'd start to look at those things and go, wow, how blessed am I to have friends? Wow, how blessed am I to have family? It's not I have to go, it's I get to go, because my life is full. But all of that, whether that reframing happens quickly or slowly, all of that begins with that intentional relationship with God, that intentional personal relationship. And that's what I want us to just kind of focus on this evening. I want to ask you just two questions, the questions that I just want you to just think about, not to answer me now, but just to think about, which are tying a little bit, guys, with what we did this morning. But the questions are this. One, do you want life in all its fullness? Do you want life in all its fullness? Jesus said it's yours if you want it. And if you do, are you willing to pay the price, which is not even a price? It's having an intentional, being intentional in your relationship with God. being intentional in your personal relationship? Are you willing to take the time to develop that, take the time to grow in that? Let me just read you the last, this passage from Ephesians, and then just a little bit further, one last time, as kind of like a prayer that Paul says for them, but I want to say for us as well. That's why, when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the Christians, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that the God of galaxies, the immense and powerful, mighty God, you want a relationship with me. You want a personal, everyday, walking side by side relationship with each of us. When we grasp the immensity of that, how could we not want it? Not want to spend our days with the God whom no one can stand against. We pray, Spirit, you would fill us and we would begin to be intentional about walking that road with you, about developing that personal relationship with you, that we might come to have and see life in all its fullness and begin to share that life with others. Lord, you are amazing. Amen.